Tonight I'd like to elaborate on a topic that Bruce Roebuck did an excellent job addressing last night. I want to begin with some questions for my brothers in Christ. Are you a congregational teacher? Are you working to become one? If you said no to those questions, then here's another one. Do you have the ability to teach? Might you have the ability? And finally, are you what some call a circuit rider? In other words, are you a teacher in the church who has a series of speaking appointments most Lord's days, and do you go and teach in congregations that choose to not establish teachers for themselves? You know, the role of public teacher has always been an important part of God's plan. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, Paul says, "And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, and third teachers." Now we know that the roles of apostles and prophets, they have passed away with the completion of God's word. But the role of public teacher remains. And when men in local churches have sound biblical convictions and the ability to teach, they need to be strongly encouraged to develop and use that ability. This is implied in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In verse 26, Paul says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification." Now, Paul was actually dealing with a problem here at Corinth. And the problem was that these men were so eager to use their talents and speak out in the assembly, they were all trying to speak at the same time. Obviously, that was a problem. It was creating confusion. And notice how Paul deals with the problem in verse 31. He says, "For you can all prophesy," or teach, "one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged." Paul rebuked them for the confusion they were causing when they were all trying to speak at the same time, but he does tell them that they can all teach if they do it one teacher at a time. Now, I think it's kind of ironic, because today many churches have a problem that is completely opposite to the one in Corinth. At Corinth, brothers were practically running over each other to try to get into the pulpit and teach God's word. But today, you might have just about as easy a time finding an apostle or prophet in some congregations as you would a public teacher. There are too many congregations where very few men teach, or no men at all teach. Now, they might have men who can do it, but they're satisfied even though most, if not all, of their teaching comes from men of other congregations. And brethren, that's a problem. What's the problem with that system? Here are a couple. First of all, when men who are capable of teaching aren't encouraged to teach, there's a good chance that their knowledge of the scriptures is not what it could and should be. As a general rule, and I know there are exceptions to this rule, I know that we have some outstanding Bible students who cannot fulfill the role of public teacher. But as a general rule, when men don't teach, they don't study as much. Being a public teacher motivates us to study the Word of God diligently. And when men put out the time and effort to study God's Word on their own, the benefits of that exercise extend far beyond their time in the pulpit. When men put out the time and effort to study and teach, it makes them stronger. It makes them stronger leaders in the home, which in turn makes their families stronger. It makes them better able to teach the gospel to the lost. And it makes them better able to be the church leaders that they need to be. Undoubtedly, one reason we have far too few elders in the church is that there are far too many men who started earlier in life taking on this role of public teacher. I'm just telling you what you all know. When men diligently study the Word of God, it is best for the church. It makes the local church stronger. The circuit rider system prevents that kind of growth. because it discourages men from studying and becoming leaders. But secondly, when a congregation imports most or all of their teaching, this creates a compounding problem for that congregation. Young men and newer converts are never encouraged to teach in that system. Instead, they're discouraged. I mean, why should they feel a responsibility to put out the time that it takes to edify the body when men in their home congregations who've been in the church for decades and who might have the ability to teach are content to just sit back and let someone else, maybe we write them a check, and we let someone else do the work that we could and should do? This revolving pastor system, as it's been called, creates a situation where men are actually encouraged to bury their talents. It is not God's plan, and it's a hindrance to the cause. If you're a traveling teacher or circuit rider, I implore you to think about this and to determine that you're not going to be a part of the problem. Instead, you're going to be a part of the solution. There's no doubt in my mind that the vast majority of brethren who regularly go teach for other congregations, they have nothing but good intentions. You want to help churches that are struggling, and I appreciate that desire. Listen, you're looking at someone right here who used to be a circuit rider. And if someone would have asked me, I would have told them, you know, I just want to help these churches. There's no doubt they needed help, but I wasn't providing it. I wasn't giving them the help that they needed. And I realized, as I thought about what I was doing, that there were two things that were obvious about these congregations. Number one, they had zero teachers and just as little desire to create teachers. And number two, they were dying on the vine. And I realized that neither I nor any other traveling teacher was actually helping these churches. We were enabling them. We were enabling a system that is poisonous to the future of the church. We were supporting a practice that month after month, year after year, drains the life out of a congregation. It discourages study. It discourages taking responsibility for the local work. And it encourages complacency. It does not help. If you're a circuit rider, what can you do to help? Please love these churches enough to issue challenges to them. Challenge them to edify themselves. On Lord's days, instead of just filling the pulpit, talk to brethren who might have the ability to teach persistently, and you'll have to be persistent. Because once a congregation is addicted to that system, it's extremely difficult to get them out of it. So be persistent in encouraging men to utilize their abilities. And be willing to literally work yourself out of a job in order to help them edify themselves. And if a congregation refuses this type of real, meaningful help, my suggestion is stay at home and work at home. Do not enable a practice that is slow death to the local church. Now I realize that not all men have the ability to publicly teach God's word, and that's fine. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 29 says, "Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers?" And the obvious answer is no. Not all men are cut out for the role of teacher. And if you don't possess that talent tonight, that's okay. You can serve God, you can study and understand His Word, and you can make it to heaven without being a public teacher. James even states in James 3, verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. James is just pointing out that the role of public teacher is not for everyone. And congregations should not force men into this role unless they're ready for it. They certainly shouldn't encourage men to teach unless those men are faithful and sound in doctrine. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2. But we need to understand that when James says, "Let not many of you become teachers," he is not discouraging those who have the talent to teach. Remember Matthew 25, the parable of the talents, and the servant who was called a wicked and lazy servant because he didn't use the opportunity that he had been given. In Ephesians 4, verse 16, Paul talks about how to cause growth in the body of Christ. He actually talks about how the local church can, quote, edify itself. That needs to be our goal tonight. The goal for our home congregation should be to edify ourselves. And how is this accomplished? Paul mentions one thing in Ephesians 4, 16. He says, every part must do its share. This means that if a man is able to serve the church by giving public edification, God expects him to use that ability. And brethren, sometimes you don't know what you can do for the cause of Christ until you try. Don't just assume that you can't publicly teach. Be willing to try. And congregations, as a brother goes through this process, we need to practice patience and understanding. New teachers aren't going to be as eloquent as an evangelist. They're not going to be as polished as a circuit rider who's been teaching for many years, and by the way, who's had the luxury of teaching the very same sermon three or four times a month. But if this man is a faithful brother in Christ and he has conviction for the truth and the ability to edify, and he's willing to put out the time and the effort to edify the body of Christ, he deserves your attention. And his home congregation needs to be mature enough to learn from the substance of his message instead of becoming distracted by what we might perceive as a lack of style. New teachers need our patience, respect, and encouragement because they're willing to do something that's not easy for the benefit of God's kingdom. God bless you men who work hard all day at a secular job, and yet you're willing to come home and do something that a lot of times you don't feel like doing. You're willing to come home and spend hours studying God's word to edify the body. And God bless you, sisters, who give your husbands or your sons the encouragement they need. I'll have to say, it thrilled my soul this morning to see the young men who've made it their business to edify the local church. I mean, do we need more preachers, or do we like to see more preachers? Absolutely. And I believe that some of you are going to make great ones. But I strongly believe that congregational teachers are the backbone of the local church. And we need more men who have the faith and the conviction and the commitment to fulfill this role. Young men, there is nothing more significant that you could ever do. There's no hobby, no sporting event, no job. There's nothing affiliated with this temporal life that can even come close to the significance of taking the word of an eternal God and teaching it to his eternal kingdom. If you're part of a congregation that does not edify itself, don't be satisfied with that. If you're a brother in Christ who might have the ability to teach, but you're not teaching, don't be satisfied with where you are. Let's take responsibility for the work of our home congregations. It is the most important work we have in this life. And don't let someone else do the work that you need to be doing. Let's make edifying the body the priority it needs to be.